Father, we come to you once again. We cannot rest on what was given yesterday or the day before, dear God, but Lord, we're asking for fresh manna, dear God. And so, Lord, tonight we ask that you would bless us one and all, Lord, with a fresh touch of desire, dear God. My God, Lord, rain on us afresh, dear God. Speak to our hearts afresh, dear Lord. As we mentioned last night, dear God, Lord, the next day, Lord, we can find us with a different heart altogether. So we need you to speak to us once again. So we pray, God, that you would bless your word tonight, Lord, as you've taken this vessel, dear Lord. And my God, as we open our mouths, dear God, might it be you that speak. We're living in a time, Father, where many are just hearing, Lord, the words of men. But God, we need to hear from you. We need a word from you, Lord. So, Lord, we pray that you would bless. My God, bless those in the audience. Lord God, you know their needs. You know, Lord God, where they are. You know their struggles, Lord. You know their tests, dear God. We pray, God, that you would bless, that you would inspire. There are those, Lord God, that may not be saved. We pray, God, that you would deal with them. Might the Holy Spirit, my God, find them out, Lord. My God, Lord, go through the pews, dear God, Lord. Speak to consciences, dear God. My God, break down stubborn wills, we ask in the name of Jesus. My God, those that are just hanging on by a thread, dear God. My God, Lord, might they hold on a little longer, hold a little tighter to the line, dear God. Bless tonight, dear God. Save souls. Sanctify believers, dear God. And Father God, we'll be sure to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Let us turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter. I have a new reader. All right, my brother. All right. Okay. Amen. 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter. I really enjoyed what Brother Goble was saying, because we are a different people. And you know, the devil, he wants to make us ashamed of that. He wants to make us afraid of that. And in that shame and in that fear, he wants us to backtrack and want us to change. Amen. And that's really in the scope of what the message is. As we read there in 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, we ask that you would read there at the first verse, my brother.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly.
Now the scripture says the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, he is talking very clearly and very directly. Amen. And he spoke back then when this was penned, and the Holy Ghost, he is speaking now. Amen. He is speaking without any reservations. Amen. And for us as his people, we need to open our ears to what the Holy Ghost has to say. Amen. And to those that are not saved, amen, even you need to open your ears to what the Spirit of God has to say, because he's going to be very clear, very plain. When God talks to us about our lives and talks to us about those things that have to do with us, God does not make any mistakes. God does not say oops. He don't say oops. When God says something, God never have to backtrack. God never have to apologize, because he knows what he's saying. All right, read on, my brother. That in the latter times, and surely we are living in the latter times. Come on.
Some shall depart from the faith.
Some are going to leave the faith. Some are going to deter from the faith. Some are going to go off from the faith. Some are going to try to change the faith. Amen. I want you to notice something. Amen. And if you don't know, I'm going to tell you. As a preacher of the gospel in our day and time, don't you know that people are trying to get us to compromise the gospel, brother? Even people, amen, have looked at as being saved, amen, they're challenging us, amen. Why do you teach this? Why do you preach this? Why do you teach it like that? They want us to compromise. In the latter days, the Bible says some, they're going to depart from the faith. Amen. What are you saying? They're going to actually leave it. I can't deal with that anymore. That's you. That's what you all think. I don't look at it like that anymore. They're going to depart from the faith. Depart from those cardinal doctrines. Those core doctrines, depart from the standard, amen. And it's not just, amen, that which is doctrinal, but you know the devil is after just our belief in God. He's beginning to reason with people now. Why do you believe that? Why do you even believe in a God? You ain't seen God. What have God done for you lately? If God was real, then that wouldn't have even happened. If God was real, then you wouldn't even be in this situation. If there was a God, then you'd be better off. I know how he talks. I tell people at home, listen, I'm a saint before I'm anything else. This title means nothing if I can't be a saint of God. The title being a pastor to me means nothing if I can't be a saint first. So what are you saying? I go through the same thing you go through. We encounter the same temptations you do. Don't you think the devil talked to us? Amen. Saying the same thing to us, what he say to you? But his aim is to get us off, to get us to depart. To leave this thing, amen, that we have embraced for years. But you know what I tell the devil? There's too many miles behind me. Too many trials I've gone through. Too many tears. Help me to remember, I've got too much to gain. Too much to gain to lose. Amen. I haven't put all this time, amen, all this time into salvation, almost 43 years, just to give up now. This thing has become more valuable to me. Amen. And that should be for all of us. Amen. Listen, if you've been saved a month, amen, it has increased in value. Or it should. It should. Amen. This salvation is something that we've invested in. And we get a good return, a good return. And it ain't like the stock market that goes up and down, up and down. We never lose. You know what? Since I've been saved, the value of it keep doing this. That's all I've seen. So My prayer, amen, and the title of this message is, Lord, keep me in these times of compromise. Keep me in these times of compromise. Amen, because we're living in times, amen, that's trying the souls of men. These times are testing us. It's seeing what we're made of. The devil want to know, after all these years, Brother Sanchez, Sister Sanchez, what are you made of? You've done all this talking for all these years. The devil want to see. He want to know, what is it you got? What do you have? We go through these tests and we go through these trials. Amen. And sometimes, amen, it look like it's unrelenting and the devil won't stop. But all these things, all it's doing, amen, is putting us in the fire and trying the gold. Amen. And we're going through, amen, and as we're in the fire, brother, we're just shining more. We're just shining more. Amen. Why? Because God allows us to go through those things, amen, so people can see, amen, that God have a people on this earth. Amen. 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 So our constant prayer needs to be, God, you keep me in these times, amen, of compromise. I love the choir. They sang the song, Hold On. Hold On. I was eating it up. I was eating it up. Why? Because, amen, I needed the encouragement tonight. I felt like y'all keep singing it. And then you all were wrapping it up. I was like, keep singing it. Hold on. The brother mentioning, amen, we need one another.
Amen.
I'm going a little off from, amen, the written message, amen, but we do, we need one another.
Amen.
More than we realize, we need one another. Amen. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be holding one another up. I was telling them back at home, amen, at church, you know, as people, we have this tendency of being negative to one another and about one another. Amen. But listen, amen, as we get to know one another, we're going to see one another's faults. We're going to see one another's shortcomings. But I've learned something. Just as somebody, I see other people's shortcomings, somebody see mine too.
Amen.
We ain't all that in a bucket of cookies. We need one another. More than we can even fathom, we need one another. It does my heart good. I don't know how you feel, but when you see, when you're out there just maybe going to the store or at the library or whatever, and then you see a saint of God, you know what we do? Brother, we light up. We could have saw one another last night. But we light up. Hey, brother. And even when we come to church, we're like that too. We're like that too. We saw one another last night, but then we come here. Hey, brother. How was your day, brother? You know why? Because we need one another.
Amen.
And so
amen.
The Bible tells us, amen, that we're to exhort one another. As we see the day coming, you exhort one another. Because We are all that we have. The world is not our friend. The world is not our friend. Amen. We need one another. Amen. And God still has a people. He still has a church. And he has a people in church without apology. Without excuse. Without shame. Without compromise. God has a people. Amen. And his people, we have a message. The very message that delivered us from sin, amen, is still relevant today. Amen. Amen. It's still relevant today. Amen. If we don't have anything else, we have a testimony of what God did. Amen. How he delivered us from the chains of sin. Amen. We have our own particular story. And sometimes that's all people need to hear. To hear that story of how God delivered you from the chains of sin. Amen. It may have been years ago, or it may have been yesterday. But that story is relevant, because there are people who still want to be saved. Yeah, yes it is. Yes it is. I have no doubts when I come to meetings like this, because you know I tell God even before I get to the meeting, you're having these meetings for a reason. It is. It's for the encouragement of the saints. But you know, there are people come here who need God.
Amen.
They come and they sit, but their heart is saying, one day I want to get right. One day I want to be right with God. One day I want to be delivered. And they're struggling with inner demons. And if you let go, you let go, you let go, you let go, all you're doing is giving the devil a message to tell them that it wasn't worth it. Because people are looking at us and depending on us. They're depending on us. Amen. So there in Daniel, the fourth chapter and the 27th verse, amen, I said, amen, that we have a message, the message of deliverance from sin. It's still relevant. Amen. And the Bible tells us there in Daniel, the fourth chapter and the 27th verse, my brother.
Wherefore, O king,
yes,
let my counsel be acceptable unto thee.
Okay, what did he say?
And break off thy sins.
Amen.
By
righteousness. Listen, that counsel is still relevant. And that's what God is still saying. Amen. If you would be delivered, amen, you need to break off your sin. Amen. Sometimes people they try to wean off sin. Amen. But you can't do that when God is talking to you. You got to break off your sin. Amen. Listen, you may be caught up in some relationship and all that, and you feel like I could just wean and get away from him just a little bit, get away from her just a little bit. God said, no, break off your sin.
Amen.
Break it off. Don't give the devil time to talk to you. Break it off. Don't you sit up and try to set up some truce with sin. You break it off. We have to make the devil mad sometimes. Make him mad, make him angry. Amen, because listen, the devil, he has no other desire but to make sure that every one of us end up in hell somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says hell was made for the devil and his angels. You know, I know this revelation, you may say, oh, that's symbolic, but listen, amen, it's real. It was made for the devil and his angel. Am I on? Okay. And I'm going to tell you, the devil don't want to be there by himself.
No.
He want to get as many of y'all as he can. Can you imagine if the devil could win everybody here? If little by little, he began to convince you, Brandy, then convince you, you could possibly convince your wife and convince your children. I mean, somebody else is looking and feel like you're hot. And the devil got a whole congregation down there in hell because he don't want to be there by himself. So the scripture tells us, You break off your sin. Amen. And I know that the terminology sin, it's being ridiculed in today's times. Amen. It's become part of a comedy material. You know, they talk about sin, amen, in a comedy fashion now. Amen. And now they're even calling sins mistakes. There was these young men, young basketball players, grew up in a home, amen, of principal and all. And they went over there to Japan. I mean, playing college ball gave them the opportunity to travel. And they went over there to Japan and stole. You all hear about that? Now, the Japanese authority, they were willing, ready to lay the hammer down. But here in America, you know what we were saying? The boys made a mistake. They ain't make no mistake. They knew it was wrong. If you know something is wrong and you do it anyway, the Bible says to him that know to do good and doeth it not, it is a
sin.
Not a mistake. Not a mistake. But there's a change, amen, a compromise, amen, in what is right and what is wrong, amen. And some people, they take their sins, and their sins are very dear to them. Some sins they love, they hug it, and they stroke it, and you know, I don't want to let it go. And what is it that God is requiring of me? If I let this go, then I'm not going to be happy. God ain't concerned about your happiness. He ain't concerned about your happiness. Okay. Whether little, whether it's great, amen, whether it's open or whether it's secret, amen, all sin is going to be exposed.
Amen. Amen.
It's going to be exposed. Whether you're a sinner or whether you are a religious person, whether you are a Church of God religious person. God said this, be sure your sins will find you out. Mm-hmm. Sin is like a hound dog. It will come looking for you when you think that you've hidden it and you think that God haven't seen you. Amen. Your sins are, amen. It'll come sniffing and searching and, oh! Because it's on your trail. It'll find you out. It'll find you out. And that's what people ought to be fearful of. Amen. They think that they can do things. Amen. And the pastor don't know about it. The saints don't know about it. But God said, listen, amen, I'm going to make sure that it is exposed and seen. Am I too hard?
No.
Am I too hard?
No.
Listen, we've got to be hard on ourselves if we're going to make heaven.
Amen.
I'm seeing that more and more, brother. I got to be hard on myself if I'm going to make heaven. Amen. If there's any hope of me making it through these compromised times, I got to be hard on myself. I tell flesh in the morning when it don't want to get up, you get yourself out of this bed. That floor is never too cold. You got to meet your God. So yeah, I have to do a few things. Got to warm myself. Got to take the blanket and wrap myself up. See, but it don't get cold here like it do in Chicago. Sister Melinda, I got my witness. But I have to do what I have to do in order to make it. I don't want to lose my relationship with God. I don't want to lose that what I have put so much into to acquiring, amen, and gaining with God. Brother, sometimes you got to wrap up. God, help me this morning. We got to keep it going. We got to keep it going. Amen. And we're going to get there. Matthew, the 19th chapter. Matthew, the 19th chapter. And the 16th to the 21st verse. See, because after you get saved, amen, there's still more that God is requiring of you. Matthew, the 19th chapter, 16 to the 21st verse, my brother.
And
we often read this, amen, and we're going to deal with particular subject here. Come on.
And behold,
look, he said.
One came and said unto him.
Yes.
Good master.
What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Come on.
And he said unto him.
Yes.
Why callest thou me
God,
good?
Jesus said, listen, why do you call me good? Amen. This young man, he called himself going to butter Jesus up. Amen. Work his way up to Jesus. Amen. Good master, what good thing must I do? Amen. Jesus, he stopped him right there. Listen, why do you call me good? We're going to keep things in its place here. Come on. Come on.
There is none good but one.
There is none good but
that
one.
That is God.
And that's God. Come on.
But if thou wilt enter into life.
Now, if you want to enter into life.
Keep the commandments.
Keep the commandments. Do what you know is right to do. Come on.
He saith unto
he
him.
He said unto him.
Which. Jesus said. Thou shalt do no murder.
You don't do any murder.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Don't commit adultery.
Thou shalt not steal.
You don't steal.
Thou shalt not
don't
bear
false witness.
Honor thy father and thy mother.
Come on.
And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yes, come on.
The young man saith unto him,
yes,
all these things
have I kept from my youth up.
What lack I yet?
Amen. Often we look at the things that we don't do and things that we do. Amen. And we think that that's good enough in the sight of God. But we need to ask the same question that this young man asked. Lord, what am I lacking? I've done the things that you told me to do, but yet there appears to be a lack. What am I lacking? What am I missing? What am I falling short in? Come on. Come on, my brother.
Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect.
Now listen, amen, all that you said was good. But, you know, I want to get you to a point, of perfection. And if you would be perfect, come on.
Go and sell.
Go and sell.
That thou hast.
Everything you have. Everything. You know, the message of consecration, it's been lost. You don't hardly hear people and preachers preaching on consecration anymore. You don't hardly hear people talking about being consecrated to God anymore. When I was growing up, younger in the Lord, I heard that a lot. How about some of you? Let me ask some of you. Have you ever hear that about being consecrated?
Amen.
I mean, we sing songs, consecrated Lord to thee, nearer still nearer, close to thy heart, draw me, O Savior, how precious thou art, yielded to thee, Holy Spirit divine, henceforth my will shall forever be thine. I mean, those songs would challenge us. And it would challenge us enough, amen, that often before the preacher even got up to preach, people would be going to the altar. Mm-hmm. Lord, help me, God. But now people come and they hear a message and it's just a lovely song. But Dave, that was good. You know what you just said about the world? That was good. You know what you were saying about us can't be close to the world? That was good, brother. But I don't care how long we've been saved, how old we are, every one of us still should have that fervor in our soul.
Amen.
God, I need more of you, Lord. God, I want to be closer to you. God, what is it that I have to do? What lack I? What lack I? Can my prayer life be greater? Can I talk to you tonight? Can I talk to you? I'm just talking to you, amen, the way me and the Lord talk. And I hope I'm not offending anybody. I'm not trying to offend anybody. Amen. But that desire that longing is the heart panic after water. Those messages, amen, that will ring within our souls. He said, go, sell all you have. But people, they're hearing a doped up Kool-Aid gospel, laced with poison of compromise. But you know, against sin, self, the world, it's got to be our enemy. And we gotta fight against it. We gotta quarrel with it. Sometimes with your own flesh, you gotta quarrel with your flesh. Oh yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. You gotta argue with your flesh sometime. Amen. And you gotta tell your flesh, and you're not gonna win. You know, sometimes, amen, sometimes when you're in a discussion with somebody, amen, sometimes you just feel like, no, I'm just going to close my mouth. I'm going to close my mouth. But you can't do that with flesh. You're not winning. Flesh is like, no, but please just let me do this one more time. Let me have the last word. Me and Brother Richard in a disagreement, amen. And you know, flesh just feel like I got to have the last word. Husband and wife, they get into these disagreements with one another, and in the home, it goes to another level because somebody won't have Holy Ghost sense to shut their mouths. Because they feel like, I've got to have the last word. You ain't besting me. Your mama never taught you how to cook. You got to have the last word, don't you? Yeah, maybe your last meal. That's right, brother. You know, I never said this, but I never liked your pancakes anyway. So, the flesh is wrestling and striving against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. There's a quarrel. There's a quarrel. Years ago, and I honestly can't even remember what the disagreement was or even what I said. But I said something to my wife. And honestly, I don't even remember what it was. But what I do remember was how the Holy Ghost dealt with me. And I remember my wife being in the kitchen. She just doing whatever she was doing. She didn't say a word. She didn't say a word. I went in that living room and, you know, I took a few steps, and God stopped me and said, you owe her an apology. You shouldn't have said that. My flesh didn't want to go back, and I had to drag that bad fellow. I remember. And I remember coming to the threshold of the kitchen and I put my hands up on the door sills like I was being crucified. I said, honey, forgive me, I should not have said that. Forgive me, that will never, ever happen again. I was wrong. I felt a death in my flesh. We gotta fight against our flesh.
Amen.
You know, this type of message, the religious world does not like to hear. They will not preach it. Amen. They don't mind being religious. Amen. But when you start talking about stopping your sinning and being consecrated to God and being devoted to God, they're like, It's too sweet in my mouth. Too sweet. Mark the 12th chapter. Mark 12. We're going to try to wrap it up again. Told you, I don't go for 2 hours. Mark the 12th chapter. And let me go there. I need to see something here. Let's read there at the 41st verse, please.
And Jesus sat over against the treasury.
And Jesus sat over against the treasury.
And beheld the people cast money into the treasury.
How the people cast money into the treasury.
And many that were rich cast in much.
Yes, yes. And many that were rich, they cast in much. Come on.
And there came a certain poor widow.
There came a certain poor widow.
And she threw in 2 mites.
And she threw in 2 mites.
Which make a farthing.
Which made a farthing.
And he called unto him his disciples.
And Jesus said, wait a minute, come on. I want you, everybody come here. This is a teaching moment. It's a teaching moment. What did he say, my brother?
And saith unto them.
Yes.
Verily I say unto you.
Verily, truly I say to you.
That this poor widow hath cast more in.
This poor widow right here has cast more in, come on.
Than all they which have cast into the treasury.
Than all these rich folks that have cast into the treasury. Come on.
For all they did cast in of their abundance.
Because they cast of their abundance. Come on.
But she of her want did cast in all that she had.
But she put in everything she had into it. Everything she had into it. Amen. Are you putting your all into this? I mean all of it. All of it. Is Jesus the very center of your joy? Amen. Everything revolves around him. Your education, your job, your children. Amen. Your expenses, your finances. Amen. Where you go, what you do. Is Jesus the very center of it? The very center of it. Well, you give him everything. God, take my houses, my lands, change my dreams or my plans. You remember that? You remember those songs? Why? Because I'm placing my whole life in your hands. Oh, we used to sing those songs and mean it too. We used to sing it and mean it. Amen. Now it's just a lovely song. one that we hear, amen, and we raise our hand in a little cute way and say, amen. Thank you, Lord. But when we used to sing it, oh, we meant it. We meant it. Take my houses, Lord, if that's what's necessary. Take my lands, Lord, if that's necessary. Change my dream. It was my desire to go here and to do this and to be this God. But God, I feel like that you're calling me. How many people have a burden, a desire to let God use them in a missionary field? I wonder sometime, my brother, when the Lord take us on, how many people have a burden for the ministry? And I ask people this, I direct it particularly to the young people. If I die, could the people that's coming on look at you and say, that's how the church supposed to be? That's what the church supposed to look like. And for all of us, that's what we need to ask that question, because Brother Goble, he's not going to be here for the rest of his days. The Lord's going to take him on. Somebody has got to have the burden.
Amen.
Somebody has got to finally say, God, I'm yielded to thee. Yielded to thee. I'm tired of running after what I want and what I want to do, God. Lord, you take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Amen. Take it. She gave her everything. From what I understand, this woman, when she threw in those two mites, she didn't have anything else. She had nothing else, but she felt like, if I give God my all, God's going to give me back in return. How many of us are like that? Final scripture, Psalm 63:8. You know, your pastor and I, we were talking. And because we went to see this church, it's a huge church. It's considered a mega church. And we were looking at what they were doing over there, and I mean, they had a huge facility. It was a giant mall. It was a mall that they had, basically. And they took us on a tour, and the guy showed us around, and we're doing this for the community, and we're doing that for the community, and this is free for the community, and that is free, and this, and that, and that, and that. And Brother Gobo, he made this statement to me. That they have the people that they have, and they can do the things that they do because they are part of the world. And being part of the world, all they're doing is saying, listen, we're just like you. We're just like you. And we're going to throw a little God in here, but you can be part of us because we're part of you. But as a church, we are not part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We may never get 1,000 folks, maybe not even 500. Because people's minds are changing. They're changing. But for us, amen, we've got to continue to be that light. So in order to be that light, we got to go. Read this, my brother. Psalm 63 and 8.
My soul followeth hard after.
We got to go hard. Hard after God. Hard. Our soul have got to follow hard after God. Not half-stepping. But going hard.
Amen.
I mean, putting up our best effort. Putting up our all. Amen. If we're to convince the world, they got to see these people ain't playing. They live the life they love, and they love the life they live. Amen. That's how they need to see us. They need to see us like that. Amen. If we're to follow God, we can't be following him at a distance. We got to follow, amen, where he is constantly in our sights. Amen. And when it looked like, amen, he's picking up speed, we pick up speed. Mm-hmm. We got to follow hard. And that denotes the intensity of what we do. The Bible talks about an individual by the name of Enoch. And the Bible says that Enoch had this testimony. He had this testimony. You may say, what testimony, Brother Dukes? Wait for it. Wait for it. That he pleased God. That was this testimony that he had. All of us have a testimony, but I want to have this testimony. This testimony. Just as Enoch, that I please God. Amen. God bless you, my brother. Come on.